You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to another fun episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and we hope most certainly that it's fun, and that all starts with you guys and your questions, so thank you for sending them in. This is episode number 1027. I'm still getting used to saying 1,000, and it's pretty cool. Thanks for spending a few minutes of your day with us.
Yeah, greatly appreciate it. We're excited about today's episode because I'm not going to be distracted at all. and we are excited to discuss a very important issue, which is how do you create relationships, or where do you go as a centralized unit for search and rescue missions? There are a lot of groups out there, and frankly, I'm not really sure if we have the answer to this other than just the age-old adage of I know what has worked from experience. And I think that this is one of those takes because, you know, there's a new group that we wanted to get on this show that's focused around search and rescue drones. In fact, I think that was a group, again, that PJ was a part of. But how do you link those groups with local agencies, and how are those groups working with local agencies to be known? Because there have been other companies. In fact, we had to differentiate ourselves from a particular company during Hurricane Harvey because that particular company had a name that was spelled similar to ours. And they were, you know, saying that they had permission to fly and do things in TFRs, and they didn't. And they were using people's footage and like literally stealing people's footage and using it. And it's just one of those things that, you know, you can, once again, cause more harm than good. We've done shows on responding to hurricanes, and luckily we're in one of the slowest hurricane seasons since 1982, which is fantastic. But what happens when disaster strikes your area? Who do you call? What group are you a part of? What do you do? How can you position yourself to be an asset?
As opposed to a liability, which we've talked about before.
Yes, because again,
it's not a fine line, by the way. It's a pretty bold line.
Yeah, not a fine line at all. What I will say, though, that I think is extremely important is that no matter what you do to set yourself up with groups, you need to remember the fundamentals of doing any search and rescue work whatsoever or working with governments whatsoever, which rule number one is you always work with chain of command. So you always have to figure out who's in charge, who's running it, how do you work with chain of command? Because yes, it may be difficult, and yes, there may be a lot of red tape, but oftentimes you need to work with chain of command. So in this show, I'm also just going to reiterate really quick some of the classes and whatnot that you should be aware of, some of the piloting stuff that you should be aware of when it comes to search and rescue. This particular show is focused about how do you build relationships and essentially become, like I said, an asset for your local governments. So we're going to focus on that. But in any time we do a search and rescue show, as you know, because we are about to launch a search and rescue class, this is something that's really, really near and dear to my heart, because I feel like, you know, drones are one of those tools that can be used for good or bad. But if you don't know what you're doing, the chances are is you could actually like cause more harm than good. So I think it's really important to kind of discuss these things, Rob. So
good morning. This is Brad from sunny Florida along the Gulf Coast. Guys, I've learned so much from your podcast and videos, and thank you for the great content. I'd like to volunteer my drone and services to my local government, such as search and rescue or disaster response. You know, living along the coast with storms and boating accidents and such. So my question is, how do you find out who, what, and where to contact? I've asked and I have searched the net and can't find anywhere to volunteer. I just hear good ideas, but nothing else. Not sure why, with all the media about the good and the bad of drones, that communities and cities would love to have people volunteer their equipment and services to enhance these services. I'm a Part 107 certified pilot, insured, nearing retirement, and would like to use my extra time servicing, training, or teaching others. Yes, I have taken several of your online courses and it's been very beneficial. Thanks again for what you do and for all the drone pilots around the world.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate the perspective. There's too many people, I think, that go about this in the wrong way, and that is they think they're helping by just going out and seeing literally people show up on scene and think that they're going to help, right? And ultimately, they end up getting in the way. And one of the things that comes to my mind is that it's going to take somebody, so we can give people contact information or ideas on where to go, groups to be a part of, et cetera. But you always talk about working with the command center, the chain of command as it relates to these scenarios. And it's going to take time for these folks to learn to trust you. And so typically what I've seen with our members and so forth that have been involved in this kind of work, this kind of volunteer work in particular, is they get asked, right? They get a call from someone that knows them because of their reputation. And I'm not saying this to discourage you, Brad, but just know it could take some time. I think it's cool that you have sort of built up the background and you're ready to go use your services to help people.
Yeah. I mean, first things first, internet marketing tells me that, like, if he really wants to, if he wants to make relationships, what do you do when you make relationships? You want to show people what you can do. And if you can't show people what you can do, then you have a significant problem. So I think first things first is that I think that this guy needs to make a very good presentation of why he, as a drone pilot in his local area. So you need to write an article for your website on why you believe drones can help in search and rescue, about doing things systematically, about doing orthomosaics for disaster reconstruction to have a better idea of homes that may need help and whatnot. And I would give examples of what you know. Don't talk about what you don't know, because you could end up hurting yourself significantly. With that said, sorry, I'm thinking about how would I do this, right?
Sure.
Because we just recently did this with a local New Mexico group, and I was like, I don't want to be a part of your group. Like, I literally was like, no, thank you. Because, you know, they don't understand the potential problems that they could be causing. So I had to immediately remove myself from that group. And I think it's important that we talk about, too, if you should be a part of a group or what you should do. So for me right now, I'm talking about my personal opinion. What do I think you should do? I think you should write an article about search and rescue, include the name of your area, ways that you believe it can help, and how to contact you in the form of an emergency. It's probably not a contact form or an email. Give them a phone number and a way to reach out to you directly. But then I would use some sort of CAPTCHA form to make sure that people aren't just getting your phone number for egregious use. Now, that being said, from there, I would find out from the newspaper, go read all the old newspaper articles about disasters that happened to your area. Who was in charge? Who was making the call? Who, like, do some investigative work, like figure out what branch of the government was in charge, who was in charge of that particular branch, and what is the typical formulation of the chain of command from there? Because for me, I'm sure the local city is going to have the governor or the mayor or the chief of police. And I think it's really important that, yeah, you want to write emails to those people and, like, open up the door and say, look, you're really interested in getting to know more and more about who to work with search and rescue. You believe that there's a lot of benefits for using drones when disasters happen, and that you believe you can provide a solution. I think also it may be important in your little article to talk about ways that drones, and this could just be the whole article itself, but ways that drones are used for search and rescue and how it doesn't work. Because that could actually, you know, if you're not coming from a place of knowledge, that could actually be a great topic for you to discuss without looking stupid. But then utilize that, send that in an email to local government officials, the chief of police, this, that, and the other. They're going to get spammed with stuff like this all the time. So you need to go out to networking events, get to know these people, work with these people, figure out who is in charge of their disaster relief program. When emergency strikes, what are their typical standard operating procedures? Do they have meetings on this every year? I'm sure every government has some sort of committee meeting that's talking about, like, mm-hmm. let's go over our emergency procedures again because hurricane season is coming up. Like, I know this happens.
Yeah,
and
sure.
If you can be a part of those meetings, I think that that's so crucial. But you need to not be sales focused. You need to be focused on doing the right thing, working with the right people, and being an asset. And if they decide not to use you, then they shouldn't use you. But also in that article, I would include the benefits of hiring local drone pilots rather than drone pilots coming in from all over the world. Like, for example, again, during Hurricane Harvey, you know, you had, there were even some of our students that I unfriended from Facebook because they said that they were going to Hurricane Harvey. And it's like, guys, you're killing me. There are hotel rooms, like, people have nowhere to go, and there are hotel rooms being used by media conglomerates and all their interns and their people that should be used for people who need a place to stay, yeah, that live there, that have nowhere to go.
Sure.
So that type of stuff really gets under my skin because, you know, we all want to help. We all want to be helpful. And, you know, yeah, we're making an effort, so we're doing a good job. I had to talk to my wife about this the other day because, like, literally our cat got almost, like, strangled by a kitty toy. And I was in there, like, trying to help it. And she comes in and she just pulls the cat, which made the whole thing worse. And I had to say, like, sometimes you gotta, like, trust me, like, I know what I'm doing.
You gotta work your chain of command.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, try having that conversation, Rob.
I didn't mean it that way. I really didn't. I meant in that moment, you were commanding the situation.
But when I had this conversation with Sarah,
I'm not that dumb.
When I had this conversation with Sarah, she was like, no, I'm not in the wrong. And I'm like, I'm not saying you're in the wrong. I'm trying to say if you actually want to do the right thing and help people, you need to think it through. You can't just react. And, you know, everyone lives, we live in such an emotional society now, and everyone just reacts and they do what they want to do to make themselves feel good. But the people who are truly successful are thinking, what's the third move, the fifth move, the 10 move? Like, what's going to happen down the line if I do X, Y, and Z? And they take
life
time.
Life is a game of chess.
Yes. I need to say no more.
No. Please carry
on. Like, literally.
Carry on.
No, that's, you're right, though.
No, but it is.
It really is. There was a study at UNM when I got my criminology degree, and they said one of the most successful programs that they ever had in reshaping inmates' lives and making them better people for society was literally teaching them chess and teaching them that chess taught them how to think about what is going to be the consequence of their action. Mm. If they go down that line, what's the next action? Are there other actions that could maybe have a similar effect but won't have a negative, like, consequence down the line? It was fundamentally
it
was just so powerful when you change the perspective of thought, where it's not necessarily about the content but rather the context. And that context shift had an amazing transformation for inmates. You know, we always say people can't be
rehabilitated,
and I think that there are some people that really can't be, but I think the vast majority of people can be if they are taught how to think. And I think that that is something that is so deprived in this damn society. And it makes me so angry because everyone just reacts. People listen to respond. People do things to be right. People do things to serve their ego. They don't think about, if I actually really want the best for myself and this person, I need to slow the hell down right now. Think about what I'm saying and what effect is that going to have?
Hear, hear.
This has been a hard one for me, Rob. So I'm working through this myself, okay?
Well, you're right in saying that most people, I'd say the vast majority of people that are showing up to these scenes, for example, they really do want to help. I think that most of them have altruistic motives, but, you know, obviously there are those that are there for their own glory or whatever, but unfortunately it does more harm than good in most cases.
I couldn't agree
more.
It's
just the reality. But hopefully we've given Brad some ideas of where to go. And I really like the idea of getting with your, because you even mentioned, Brad, specifically your local government. And so things like just be aware of the city council, your county boards, all of those kinds of folks in the, particularly in Florida, like Paul said, they're having a lot of conversations about this stuff that you can be a part of and, you know, listen in for a while, see what's important to them, see what they're working on. And then incorporate some of those things in articles that you're writing, et cetera. And so, and be patient and work the system and you'll be helping out in no time, hopefully.
Yeah. I think that also that, you know, there's a really good point too, is so many people join groups for search and rescue, and those groups always try to send people to events. I think that there could be so much value in, like, a Facebook group or something where local government can go in and say, we need 5 drone pilots. You know, you have to meet some sort of basic qualifications. Like, you've had 100 hours, you've gone through some sort of search and rescue training, and then we're able to work with you.
Of course, there's an infrastructure challenge there of proving it, and especially when they need pilots quickly. And that infrastructure, I don't think exists yet in terms of training that you're referring to, but it's probably,
I don't think so.
I hope it's coming.
I don't think so either. We are working
maybe
on something.
A part of that.
I know one of our competitors has a class for it, but, it's not helping our industry at all. It's not something that's actually providing usable, actionable data that's going to save people's lives. If anything, it's just causing confusion by people who really don't know what the hell they're doing in it. It boils my blood, Robin. I've had to learn how to like not say people's names and who it is and why. And it's like, look, I understand you have good intentions, but there's no reason for me to berate your good intentions and be pedantic. Rather, we just need to release information that I think solves the problem. So that's what we're going to do.
Sounds great.
On that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.